Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear words from the Lord and encourage each other in prayer. And we've been studying the book, Becoming a Woman of Influence by Carol Kent, during our Bible study time the past several weeks. And you know, over this time, it certainly had me thinking about the women in my life who have influenced me. How about you? Have you been thinking about those women in your life who have influenced you? I think, of course, immediately about my mom. She was the biggest influence on my life, both personally and spiritually and professionally. I mean, she is why I came to know Jesus. She also is the reason I went into education, because mom was a teacher. And so I watched her all those years, and I was influenced by that. And when I went into teaching, I think back to some of the veteran teachers that I learned from in those early years as I was teaching and how gracious they were with their wisdom and their counsel. And I think about other women also in my life that I learned from as I transitioned from education to corporate training later in my career. You know, there were some great women there in corporate training that I had a chance to learn from. You know, most of these women I learned from because I had longer periods of time that I spent with them. So their influence came about over time. How about you? Can you think for a moment about those women who have influenced you over time, like your mom, your grandma, your aunts, maybe a woman in your church, or maybe a woman from your career, professional life, or just others? I hope that as you think about them, that they're sweet memories. It's as you reflect on the life lessons that you learn from the influence of those in your life. Well, as we look at our study today, we look at how to be an influencer ourselves, not so much to those that we interact with regularly, but our study today has us focusing on those that we see maybe only occasionally or maybe only once. The author of our book, Carol Kent, refers to that kind of influence as our second principle of becoming a woman of influence, which is the principle of walking and talking. Jesus is the perfect example of this principle, as in his earthly ministry, he spent his time influencing others while he was out walking and talking. Carol Kent describes it this way in her book, and I'll quote, "Jesus spent 3 years in his public ministry walking and talking with his disciples. He didn't have the luxury of formally teaching his disciples in a seminary classroom. His closest followers walked with him, literally, from town to town. They went everywhere with him. Whether he was teaching the disciples, visiting friends like Martha and Mary, or responding to a touch from someone in the crowd, Jesus made every contact count. The most important life lessons are almost always caught rather than taught. Knowing this, Jesus took advantage of impact moments to teach and influence others, including those with whom he had chance or just ordinary encounters." Yes. Caught rather than taught, the most important life lessons, caught rather than taught, when we're out just walking around, walking and talking, and maybe don't necessarily have a deep relationship with someone, but there's an opportunity there, impact moment, as our author mentioned. You know, Jesus shows us that wherever we are, we have an opportunity to influence someone that we see regularly or someone we may see only once, like a chance encounter, or what someone else might call an interruption. Jesus would see that as an opportunity to make an impact. So we, too, can model Jesus' walking and talking influence in our lives. Our author suggests 4 steps. Number one, recognize the need. Recognize the need. There is always a woman who needs a kind ear, a helping hand, or who needs the reassurance that she's not alone, that the Lord sees her and loves her. Recognize the need is step one to being a person of influence. Number two, accentuate your strengths and minimize your liabilities. I love that one. Accentuate your strengths and minimize your liabilities, meaning none of us is perfect, only Jesus is. So we can't wait around until we feel like we know every verse of Scripture to become a woman of influence. That's not what influence is all about. We each can be real to another woman. You know, we have things that we do well and things that we don't do so well. I'm very real about the fact I'm not a great cook or baker or any of that, but I've got 1 or 2 dishes that, you know, I could make and not poison someone, but that's just not my strength. And so that's not an area where I would be a person of influence in someone else's life, and I would eagerly, readily admit that. But there are other areas that I would feel more confident in. I wouldn't mind leading a book study or a Bible study or just talking about things of the Lord. That doesn't hamper me. And so we have to accentuate our strengths and minimize our liabilities. But we're not perfect. That's not what an influencer is all about, is being perfect. Number three is continue to grow spiritually yourself. Continue to grow spiritually yourself. As our author states, the best mentor, the best influencer is someone who walks and talks with Jesus every day. That way, over time, we automatically provide biblical solutions to problems that we encounter, and therefore can provide biblical solutions to maybe problems or decisions that others are facing, those that we are walking and talking with, if we're investing time regularly with the Lord. And Proverbs 2, 1 through 5 encourages us in this. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5 says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So in essence, the Proverbs is saying here to read the Word, accept God's Word, and store up His commands, memorize Scripture so we have them in our heart and can apply them to situations and decisions, and cry out and call out for understanding and insight. Pray, ask the Lord for wisdom. We do that on a regular basis, because we need that. And if we continue to grow spiritually, we will over time be automatically applying biblical wisdom that we've learned to situations that we and others face and be able to be that woman of influence that we desire. And number four is to invest your time in a younger woman. Invest your time in a younger woman. Look, I know many of you have daughters or granddaughters that you're investing time in right now. But if you don't have that opportunity, just look around you. In your neighborhood, your workplace, your church, there is a younger woman you could invite to coffee and just begin to get to know her better. Not so that you could preach Scripture to her, just get to know her better. Just listen and find out where she is, and God will show you. God will show you that woman who needs to go out to coffee, to have a kind ear to listen to have some encouragement. God will show you if you ask. You know, we have not because we ask not, so there are plenty of opportunities. So invest your time in younger women. You know, sometimes our influence does come from brief encounters that we have with another woman. That's what our study today was all about, the walking and talking, the brief encounters. It's been probably 25 years ago that I remember in particular a brief encounter that profoundly influenced my life. Our church at that time had invited a Christian author to speak at our women's conference, and I had the privilege of being her chauffeur for the weekend. I got to pick her up at the airport, drive her to the conference center, take her to her hotel, those kinds of things. And so we would chat as we were in the car during that time about things that we had in common. Clearly, she was a speaker. I was a business speaker. And so there were things that we shared and ways that we encouraged each other. And I just poured into her, or asked her to pour into me, and she was so very generous. I kind of pummeled her with questions and just to get her advice, to seek her wisdom about her pathway in speaking and her pathway with the Lord and how she managed to balance those things. And she was so generous with her advice and her encouragement. And I learned from her a great deal, profoundly impacted me personally and professionally. And I remember she even asked me about some of my experiences, and I just remember, oh, my goodness, what did I have to offer? But we had just a great connection, and it was really for just such a short period of time. But I, again, remember to this day, and my personal life and my business life has been affected because of what seemingly was a brief encounter, but yet she was so generous with her time. And that particular Christian author that I was mentioning, her name? Oh, Carol Kent, the author of the book study that we have. Oh, ladies, I'll tell you, if any of you lacks wisdom, the Word says he should ask God. who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to us, from James 1:5. That's what we need to do today. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray you receive the message from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Tele-Bible Study time, just email me, Beth, at spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.